Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Now, if you remember, Deuteronomy is Genesis, or Exodus is the first law. Deuteronomy was the second law that was given to the second generation, the next generation. You remember how that Moses had brought the children of Israel up to the border of Kadesh Barnea, just ready to go into the promised land. But there came an evil report of those spies. 10 of the 12 came out with an evil report. And the Bible says that their hearts melted within them. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They turned around. Instead of going in and possessing the promise, they turned around and spent the next 40 years in the wilderness, not partaking of the promise that was given to them, but instead dying in the wilderness. And the next generation then comes back to the exact same place. And they are saying, what are all these statutes? What are all these testimonies? What are all these things that we have heard about? What is all of this? You know that there's a generation today, I'm old enough that I have witnessed some things and experienced some things in my walk with the Lord, and I'm grateful for that. But I have to say that there's some who are of a younger generation. I don't know how many here tonight are in your teens or your 20s, that younger group of people, maybe some even up in their early 30s, in that group that we would categorize you as young folks. I'm not going to say you're old if you're in your 40s, because 40 sounds really young to me right now. But I'm talking about a younger generation that maybe hasn't had the same experiences. They've heard about it. They've heard the testimonies. They've heard the reports. They have even learned the statutes and the judgments. No doubt that they had learned about the law of God. They had learned about all these important laws and statutes. They'd learned them. But they really didn't mean that much to them, because they were not entering into those things. They didn't see the reality of it played out in their life. It's one thing to have a knowledge of something. There is a generation that knows a lot about God and knows a lot about the Word of God, but some that have not witnessed His presence and His power in their life, the reality of those promises. And so that generation did not, that first generation didn't enter into the promised land. Now, the promised land is a type. It's a spiritual type, not of heaven, as some make the mistake of thinking that when you cross over Jordan that you enter into, that's a type of heaven. Not so, not at all. Crossing over Jordan, entering into the promised land, is a type and a shadow. It is a picture of the victorious Christian experience. And so for us who have had, and I have to tell you that through my life, I've had some little occasions, some spattering of experiences, things that have happened to me over the years where God has answered some prayers for me. I have witnessed the power of God in some circumstances of my life. I'm not saying it's always been a high and that I've lived always at a high of always experiencing these wonderful spiritual blessings. But I've witnessed some things. Some of you that have been around the house of God and been around, have served the Lord has touched you. He has healed your body. He's worked in your family. He's worked in your finances. He has worked in your needs. And you can look back and say, this is not just talk. This is not just statutes and testimonies and laws that we talk about. This is reality. God has really done some wonderful things. Praise God for that. Amen. But I want to just talk to a younger generation here tonight, because I'm not necessarily speaking prophetically. I'm just telling you what's in my heart. I really do believe over the next coming weeks and months that we're going to see the mighty hand of God in our country. I do believe that. I believe that. Too much praying and fasting. Too much of an effort toward God. Too much of a nationwide effort toward the things of God to think that it won't happen. It will happen. I can't say exactly when, but there's a younger generation that's getting ready to see the hand of God. And I want them to recognize it for what it is. That it's not just a coincidence, but the things they've been taught, the things that they have learned, the things that parents and grandparents have instilled in the hearts of a younger generation, I want you to understand it and see it for what it is. The power of God at work in our lives and doing wonderful and mighty things, marvelous things, mysterious things, wonderful things, things that will cause you to stand back in awe of what God is doing and how He is ushering in this last day move of God, stirring up people all across this nation. I've said it again and again and again. The shaking of 2020 is a preparation for people to let go of the things of this world and this life and to turn their attention toward God. I do believe it. I believe it. That we need to recognize that houses and cars and bank accounts and investments and all these things that you may think are really important, they're temporary. They're all temporary. And the most important thing is to see and witness the move of God. And we want the younger generation to recognize it for what it is. Amen. That God will complete what He's promised. And so that generation went back into the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. The second generation comes back to the border, ready to enter in to the promised land. And this generation steps forward in faith and believes God. You see, you cannot enter into victory if you're not willing to be a conqueror. You have to be willing to move forward. Amen. Those that were on the border, if they would have stayed there, if that was the end of the story right there, how discouraging and what a defeat it would be for the children of Israel to be let out of bondage and to not ever enter into what God had promised them. And that's what the scripture here says that we read to you. He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in. It's not complete until we enter into the promise of God. The promised land is a type of great victory, conquest, taking territory, moving forward, seeing God provide great and wonderful blessings to the people of God. That's the promised land. That is a type of the victory that God wants to give to the people of God. Amen. If you don't believe that, well, that's your business. You can believe what you want to believe. This is what I believe. I believe that that's God's word and that God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. He has brought us out. He has delivered us. He has saved us. He has sanctified us. He has brought us out that we might enter in to the wonderful provision of God, the blessing of the Lord, and great things that He has in store for His people. Young people, listen to me. I know there's a lot of things you can fill up your time with. You can play video games. You can watch sports. You can involve and play sports. There's a lot of things. A lot of these things are not necessarily harmful within themselves, except sometimes a lot of these things, they just completely distract you from the more important thing. They distract you from focusing your attention upon the things of God and what God wants to do in your life. I can remember I went to youth camp when I was just a boy, maybe 12 years old, 13 years old. And I've told you this story, how that I got poison ivy and how I was miserable at this youth camp. Couldn't involve in some of the activities. I was just miserable with this poison ivy all over me. And so I just had to pull. The only place I could get any relief was just in the coolest place I could find under a shade tree. And I spent a lot of my time all by myself that week. But I want you to know there were a couple of people, a couple of preachers, pastors, that invested in me that week. And they kind of came, they saw me and they knew my situation. And they came and they talked to me and they encouraged me. And they opened my heart to the things of God and even talked to me about ministry, the work of the Lord, and the future. And none of those things had ever entered my mind ever before. But God had to just isolate me and set me apart and keep me distracted from all the other distractions so that I could just hear what God wanted to say to me. So a lot of folks talk about, well, I had a glorious experience at youth camp and prayed and sought the Lord and received the Holy Ghost in the altar. And oh, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. I was under a shade tree, like Job, suffering and going through it. But God even used all of that to talk to me and to remind me as a young 12 or 13-year-old boy that God could do something if I would make myself available to the Lord. He could do something. And so I just want to say that to all of you young folks here tonight, don't get distracted by all the things you can fill up your days with and your time with. Don't get distracted from the fact that God has saved you for a purpose and a reason. He's got some things he wants you to enter into and open your heart to if you'll pay attention and listen to the voice of the Lord. I read this scripture and there's a lot of verses, especially in the Psalms, but other places, about seeking the Lord early. Seeking the Lord, another word that's used in the King James is the word betimes, which just means the same thing, just early. Or and it's talking about the early part of the day, giving the early part of the day to the Lord. Seek him early before all the distractions, before all the hindrances, that you give some time to the presence of the Lord and to the word of the Lord. Now, that's the counsel of God's word. But I think there's even a broader meaning in that. Betimes and early could also refer to you in your youth. It could also refer to the time that when you're young, you don't have a lot of distractions. There are distractions, but you don't have a lot of responsibilities to burden you down. When you become an adult, then you've got jobs and you've got family and you've got all these pressures and all these things that begin to pile up on you. But while you're young, if you will, you've got some time that you can focus on the things of the Lord. I do believe that it means early in the morning, but I think that a broader meaning of it could be times early in your life, early in your, while you have an opportunity to seek after the Lord and to see the hand of God lead you into his divine purpose. Let me read you one of these from Psalm 63 in verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And so I'm talking about the fact that this younger generation said, what are all these statutes? What are all these testimonies? What are all these things that we've learned? And we've heard about, and we're reminded again and again of how important they were. And what all these things, they were just simply saying, we don't see this living out in our daily experiences. We're not experiencing these things. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. That was their report. This is what God did for us. He brought us out, and he brought us out so that we could enter in and you could experience the same reality. You can experience that same thing in your own life. There are spiritual lessons all throughout the scripture. And we know that all these things in the Old Testament were written as an example for our learning, so that we could learn these important spiritual lessons that God wants to teach us. He brought us out thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. There is a victory that he wants you to enter into. He wants us all to enter into it, to take possession of the blessing that God has for us. What does that involve? It involves moving forward in the call of God. It involves moving forward in the plan of God, understanding what his purpose is, what his calling is in your life, listening to the voice of God and obeying his voice to move in and take that which God has promised to you. Amen. Getting a hold of it with your whole heart. Lord, what is it that you're wanting to do, and how are you wanting to lead and to direct my steps? Another verse is Lamentation 3 and 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Amen. Now, mom and dads, you have a responsibility for your children. Grandparents, we make a contribution to our children and our grandchildren. But there comes a time when the young have to make some decisions for themselves. They have to be willing to carry a spiritual burden, bear a yoke themselves, and understand it's time for me to bear some responsibility in this. If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I'm going to have to be willing to step up, to move forward, and enter into the blessing that God has for me. And that's my heart tonight to those of you that are younger. And I don't know how many are here tonight that are in that category, but the promised land is a type of the victorious Christian life. That is the life that Jesus has provided for us, everyone to enter in by the power of the Spirit of God. It is the life in the Spirit. It is the life that is revived, full of the Spirit, anointed of the Spirit of God. And there's no victory without a conquest, without being willing to go forward. You'll have to fight. You'll have to resist the enemy. You'll have to move forward in faith. You'll have to face all kinds of obstacles and hindrances along the way. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Commit your life and your ways to the Lord as a young person early in your life, while you have an opportunity to seek the Lord. And if you will, then you will begin to realize that all these things that you've heard us talking about, you've heard the older generation talking about, the move of God, supernatural works of God, and healings and miracles and wonderful things that God has done in our lives, you'll see it too. You'll see God directing in your life as well if you'll pay attention to the voice of the Lord. Some of you are saying, well, I'm saved. I'm a young person, but I'm saved. Well, that's wonderful, but he brought you out with a divine purpose. He brought you out that he might lead you into some things. The call of God, the purpose of God. And we have to be willing to listen to the voice of the Lord. I hope that you'll pray for my daughter Mandy and her daughter Avery tomorrow morning as they fly to Haiti. And Avery is a 17-year-old. She's a sweet girl, but she's had some struggles. She's had some struggles, and she can't really, you know, she hasn't really found her place as far as seeking after the things of God. She's very soft and tender-hearted before the Lord. You talk to her about it, and she'll just break down, and the tears will flow down her face. And so that's a good thing, that she has that kind of a tenderness and a heart toward the Lord. But there's so many things distracting her. There's so many things pulling at her. And so Manny just thought, you know, she had this opportunity to go on this missions trip. And she just thought, what if I took Avery with me and let her see the work of God? Let her see other people that don't have all the blessings and privileges that she has. And so I know she's going to go down there and it's going to have an impact. Let me tell you, I believe it made a big difference in your brother's life when he went to Haiti. Amen. It's true. It's really true. He was seeking after God. He was trying to find his way toward the Lord. As soon as he got back from Haiti, he was in this altar seeking the Lord, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God did a wonderful work in his life. So would you pray with me that my little granddaughter would see the needs of those children and young people in Haiti, and God will grip her heart about her future? Amen. Get a hold of her heart about her future. Amen. I tell you, it worries me that young people today going off to these colleges and universities that are so full of socialist professors and all of this stuff that's being promoted out there today, it worries me. And she's about to graduate from high school, and I want her to make some decisions that will send her toward the plan of God. Send her toward what God, and that's what every parent and every grandparent should desire. You want your child to be doing God's will and fulfilling their calling and their purpose. That's all I got to say tonight. That's what's on my heart.